Hey, Sharnold?
Yeah, Zach?
I have a question. You know, Captain Marvel? So, she's the one who says Shazam, right? Or is she the one that embiggens? I'm very confused. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Doombots podcast. We're the Doombots. I'm Zach.
And I am Sharnold.
And what we like to do here every other week is basically take some character from comic books or usually Marvel canon and just fuck them up for you and just make them like, oh, I don't even like listening to that. I don't even like knowing that this comic exists anymore. Just ruining them for you forever.
I prefer to say spoiling them because that's the accepted terminology for what we are doing.
That's fair. Also, I think that for the most part, we examine the parts of Marvel canon when we do Marvel episodes and not just random other things that likely either won't ever make it into the MCU mm-hmm. or that have made it to the MCU but didn't really get fully explored the history of. And I sure. think this week we're going to be talking about Captain Marvel.
Yes.
And my full knowledge of Captain Marvel in its entirety
is come from the film.
And
I think that is true for a lot of people, like millions of people.
And what's crazy is Captain Marvel is such an integral character in so many storylines. And it's almost like I just edited the character out of my memory because I've read stories and I was like, I don't remember Captain Marvel even being in this before. But I also think I thought Captain Marvel was someone else. And then there's Miss Marvel.
Yeah. And she is also someone else sometimes.
But didn't Captain Marvel used to be Miss Marvel?
Yes.
But not the same Miss Marvel who in Biggins.
Correct.
Okay.
And we'll get to all of that today.
Okay.
Because there's a lot to explain. And that's part of what I want to do is help people understand, but I also like to dig into some of the weirder things that Marvel chooses to put into their comic books. Like we teased last week that Carol's powers came from a wish.
Yes.
We'll get to that when we get to that.
Okay.
I want to start at the super beginning.
Okay, the dawn of time.
Way before the dawn
of time. Way before the dawn of time. All right.
Okay, so the first character named Captain Marvel.
Yes.
Was a Superman clone.
Okay.
And he is now a DC character named Shazam.
Okay, who was he originally? What comic?
Fawcett.
Okay. What?
F-A-W-C-E-T-T, Fawcett Comics. They were huge in the 40s.
Okay.
They don't exist anymore.
Yeah. And so DC bought Fawcett.
Yes.
Okay, so this was pre the existence of Marvel Comics, right?
So let's do some chronology here.
Okay.
Okay, so Superman was created in 1938.
Yes.
Okay, in 1940, Fawcett published Wiz Comics with Captain Marvel.
It was just about peeing everywhere. Just tons of urine. It was a urine fetish porn comic that then got mainstream.
That's right.
All the best urine fetish porn comics eventually go mainstream.
And that's when they lose their fun.
I know. I want a socially acceptable. Oh my God. Okay. So you ever have those moments where you lock yourself into a joke and then you realize, oh, I don't want to be in this joke anymore. So Wiz then, Comics.
Yeah. In 1939, a company called Timely published a comic called Marvel Comics Number One.
Okay.
Okay.
They meant it more in like Marvelous Comics, right? Like,
So Timely eventually became Atlas, and then in the 60s they became Marvel.
Okay.
But they didn't have that name until the 60s.
Okay.
And when Captain Marvel as a character came out, the lawsuit that DC filed was about him looking and acting and feeling like Superman. They didn't have a problem with the name Captain Marvel because that didn't mean anything.
Right.
So Fawcett stopped publishing Captain Marvel comics.
Just because they got sued by by DC?
And also they went out of business.
Oh, okay. Well,
And so I think the last one they published was in 1953.
And it's still called Captain Marvel.
Still called Captain Marvel.
Now, when he was that character, and he was just the superhero clone, did he have the Shazam powers?
That was where Shazam comes from.
And the Shazam I think we might have talked about this, but it's the first letter of the name of the different gods, Greek gods or something.
They're not all Greek. But
it's like strength of Hercules and the
other Aphrodite and Set and Zeus and
sure
and the god of Eminem.
That one's a good one. Okay, so when he said the word, he got the power. Right. If I remember correctly, again, there was the Shazam movie that came out,
which is so weird because it came out like 2 weeks after Captain Marvel.
Yes,
and like just the timeliness of that is just so bonkers.
But I don't think anyone. I mean, for the most part, the average moviegoer
has no idea
that Shazam was ever called Captain Marvel.
And I don't think that they developed it with any intention to compete directly with Captain Marvel.
Also, the Shazam story is too much. The kid turns into an adult.
Yeah.
And then it's just, I get that it is just straight up child wish fulfillment storytelling. Yeah. But it's just too weird now.
He's got a whole family also that.
But he's still a kid, right?
Yeah, he's Billy Bastion and the other Bastions.
Batson. I think it's Batson.
And they all turn into Captain's Marvel.
He doesn't have his own kids though.
No.
Okay, because that would be real weird. It would be real weird if he like became an adult and then. Fathered children and then was actually a child.
Oh my god, that's so weird. If his Shazam personality, who is an adult, had children.
That's what I'm saying. Because his Shazam personality is just physically
an adult.
An adult.
It's mentally the same person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fucking weird. It's just big. But like, do you remember how uncomfortable Big was?
Yeah, well, it's Big 40 years before Big came out.
That's what I'm saying. It's awkward.
Speaking of movies, I do want to note that Captain Marvel Shazam was the first superhero to get a live action adaptation.
Interesting.
So Shazam, Captain Marvel by Fawcett Comics in the 40s was the best-selling comic of the time. It sold more than Superman and Batman, and that's part of the reason that DC sued, because they were like, hey, you're just copying us.
But better.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Shazam got in 1941, there was like a made-for-TV movie special where he was played by, you know, a live-action person, and that was the first live-action superhero adaptation.
And it preceded the early Batmans and the early
Batman and Superman had radio adaptations, but they didn't have.
Because when was the George Reeves Superman? That would be in the 50s, I would think. Right?
It was 50s,
because George Reeves as Superman was on I Love Lucy.
Yes.
And I don't know what year that was, but I Love Lucy started in 52. So it had to be post 52 that George Reeves was playing Superman. Okay, wow. That's really interesting. Okay, so a completely different Captain Marvel, who is no longer even called Captain Marvel, was the first Captain Marvel.
Correct.
Okay.
So then they stopped publishing that in 53.
Mm-hmm.
In 1961, Atlas Timely changed its name to Marvel.
Okay.
Because of, as an homage to that first comic called Marvel Number One that sort of started them. And this is when, so 61 is when Stan Lee sort of takes charge, is when Fantastic Four Number One starts. It's the new age of superheroes, and part of that is them changing their name to Marvel Comics.
Okay, now, quick question. Is DC already publishing Captain Marvel at this point?
No.
Okay, but they own the rights to it?
Not yet. So they won the lawsuit.
Well, I was just thinking, because you said they bought...
Fawcett ends up going under.
Didn't they buy Fawcett?
They don't end up buying Fawcett until 72.
Oh, okay.
So Fawcett goes under and stops publishing Captain Marvel because they lost the lawsuit.
Yes.
In 53. But DC doesn't purchase them until 72.
So what are they doing for 20 years?
Nothing. Just being a defunct company.
Okay, but the IP is still owned by whoever owned the company.
Right.
Got it, okay.
And so in 67 is when Captain Marvel premiered in Marvel Comics.
Captain Marvel.
Yeah, and he was a dude at the time.
Okay.
So the first Marvel Captain Marvel was an alien.
What kind of alien?
He was a Kree. We'll get into that. They're the blue ones from the movie.
Yeah.
And that was that.
Okay, now, when Marvel published Captain Marvel, do you imagine they were like, well, yeah, obviously we're gonna have a Captain Marvel, we're called Marvel. Like, do you think they were capitalizing on the name?
Because absolutely 100%,
because it had been so long since Captain Marvel had existed,
right? And so the lawsuit had nothing to do with the name. The lawsuit had to do with the likeness.
I get that. Since
no one was using the name at the time, Marvel could, and so they did.
But could Marvel? Like, because if the IP was still owned by Fawcett.
Yeah, but it wasn't being used. And I mean, I'm no legal expert, but,
yeah.
You know, there's something there.
Because it isn't the same. It's not like they just took that character and started using that character.
Exactly. They just created a different character with the same name.
Technically, if I remember correctly, because trademark and copyright is really different, weird.
Yeah.
But you can't copyright a title.
Right.
So, like, I could make a movie right now called Gone with the Wind, and it would be technically illegal as long as I wasn't, you know, saying it was, you know,
yeah, trying to make people think it was
confuse the marketplace, right?
Yeah,
as long as I wasn't trying to make people think the movie I'm putting out right now is the same as the movie that came out 70 years ago.
Yeah,
anyway,
okay, so then it was in 72 that DC bought Fawcett,
okay,
and started publishing Shazam, who became a huge part of the DC mythos.
Yeah, now Shazam. As the comic,
mm-hmm.
The character was still being called Captain Marvel, though.
I don't know.
Okay.
I know that the title of the comic was no longer Captain Marvel, but I do think the character still was for a long time.
I believe it was.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what a lot of later confusion and possibly additional lawsuits,
I'm sure,
yeah, were about. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the history of things.
Okay. And so now... DC's quote-unquote Captain Marvel,
mm-hmm.
which even wouldn't make sense for them to do, only except if they wanted to fuck Marvel, but wouldn't even make sense for them to do because of the fact that when you hear Marvel, you just think of the comics, right, especially in relation to comics.
Yeah.
So it would just almost be advertising for their rival.
Yes. You know what they should do? Huh. They should make a really bad Captain Marvel movie so that everybody goes to it and is like, oh, Marvel has lost their touch.
But anyway.
So who the fuck is Captain Marvel?
I would like to know that. So I did not even cursory research, but I sort of just thought, you know what? And this was before I even knew we were going to do an episode.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'd like to learn more. And so I Googled Captain Marvel,
mm-hmm.
and then went, oh no, this is too much. And so then I Googled Carol Danvers and went, oh no, this is still too much stuff happening. I don't understand what any of this is. But yeah. There's have there been something like 6 other Captain Marvels?
Yeah.
Okay. I read that sentence and went, not for me. I'm good. I'll let Sharnold explain it to me later. And this was like at least a full year ago.
Yeah.
So, what the fuck?
And Carol Danvers has had at least 4 different superhero code aliases. And actually, there are a lot of good jokes. When Carol Danvers became Captain Marvel, she has been written by a lot of really strong female writers, including Kelly Sue DeConnick and Kelly Thompson. And
Kelly Thompson, I know that name.
Yeah, she's Deadpool,
King of the Monsters
yeah. / Jeff the Land Shark.
Yeah.
And there are just a lot of good lines about how Carol used to fight crime in a bathing suit and how she really, really enjoys pants.
Well, the whole movie is just such a great, strong, like, no, I've got a full-ass costume and
yeah,
I'm going to kill everybody. Like,
yeah,
it's such a great embracing of like how powerful and strong she is without needing to be in a bathing suit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Mar-Vell.
Mar-Vell.
Okay. So Kree's names are often hyphenated. And so the Kree name for Captain Marvel is Mar-Vell. He is Mar-Vell, and the people on Earth misheard this and call him Captain Marvel because
he is a lucky
captain in the Kree.
It sure is fucking lucky that his hyphenated name just so happens to sound almost exactly like an Earth term for something marvelous. That's very fortuitous.
It's crazy. Yeah. Okay, so Mar-Vell's story is classic. Alien comes to destroy Earth, falls in love with humans, rebels against original society, and protects us instead of killing us.
So Omni-Man from Invincible.
Yes.
Okay.
So that was his whole deal. And then, so his secret identity was as a person in NASA because, you know, access to space and stuff.
His secret identity was the fact that he was an alien, right?
I guess, but his alien identity is his real self, and the scientist is a made-up person.
No, I know, but that's what a secret identity is, though, is like your...
I thought the secret one was... The secret one is the real one.
Yeah. So his alter ego is a NASA scientist.
Right, and so enter Miss Marvel.
Isn't he blue?
No.
Okay, well, that's helpful. Good thing he's not blue.
So there's... Gosh, the Kree are insanely complicated, and
I don't want to.
Okay, some of them are pink, and they look like humans.
Great,
how's that?
Good, it works for me. That's enough. I don't need any more of an explanation than that. You can just say they didn't plan ahead. You can just say that part. You didn't think about it yet. Anyway,
so then Miss Marvel, Carol Danvers, was his NASA liaison. So her history is that she was in the Air Force and she always was like striving to do more. She wanted to be an astronaut. So she was technically a CIA operative that had infiltrated NASA in order to spy on suspected alien activity.
Fucking what?
Yeah, it's just weird.
Okay.
but
wouldn't NASA just work with the CIA? Yeah,
well, because they were worried about alien infiltration, which they should have been because they were.
Okay. But what is the CIA? Okay. I thought she was a fire pilot.
So Carol Danvers is in the Air Force. She's a colonel. CIA comes to her and is like, hey, you want to infiltrate NASA for us? And she was like, hell yeah, I've always wanted to be a NASA.
Okay. Sure. Don't get anyone who would make sense to go to NASA. Get a random Air Force pilot.
Yeah, well, they didn't want it to be suspicious.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. Okay, so she's an Air Force pilot who works for the CIA,
right,
who works for NASA.
Right.
And she has no superpowers at this point? Okay.
Yeah. And she discovers...
So she's also not Miss Marvel at this point?
No.
She's just Carol Danvers.
Yeah, okay, and so she started out as the side character / love interest in Captain Marvel's comic.
And Captain Marvel is his superhero name, and his real name is Mar-Vell.
Correct.
What is his Earth name?
I don't know.
Something.
Yeah.
Something probably deeply stupid.
So technically, the person that he is was a real person who died, but nobody knew about it, and so Mar-Vell just took his place.
Okay. So wait, hold on.
He didn't have to like fabricate documentation or anything. He was just like, I'm this guy now.
Are the Kree also shapeshifters? No. But wouldn't that guy have worked with those people?
Apparently he was a transfer.
A transfer from what?
It's so ridiculous.
But why not?
It just adds an extra complex layer to it that's unnecessary.
Why not just have him fabricate documents?
I don't know.
Or maybe it was like a dropped storyline or something. Like they're gonna have
that the theoretically dead guy come back, and
or his family see
show up and be like,
some
hey,
sort
that's
of
not,
dramatic
yeah.
tension, and then either that didn't happen or did happen was so stupid no one paid attention to it.
Yeah.
Now, what are his powers? And why does he have them? Are the Kree all superpowered?
So the Kree are a warrior race because they've been at war with the Skrull for millennia.
Okay.
And some of them have superpowers. Just kind of like how some humans have superpowers, except them a little bit more because they're bred for war. And so they take the people who are super powered and like
foster them and nurture that power.
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
so,
but he was also helped with, like some science devices because their science is better than ours. And so some of his stuff was amplified by that, but basically he could fly, he could shoot lasers. He was super strong.
Now,
I think that was it. So what happens is Captain Marvel series is successful. Marvel makes a spinoff called Miss Marvel.
And that's with Carol.
And I didn't know this until just now. They went
this minute. I saw you Google it.
They went 19 issues without explaining her origin.
Like she just was this character. It's just like,
yeah, now she has powers.
Do they eventually explain?
Yeah, in issue 19. Can you Jesus imagine Christ. That in the modern
that's
like era?
That's a year and a half.
Yes,
more than a year and a half.
Yeah,
of just a character existing. Just,
okay, she has superpowers now. But explanation.
But not just, okay, she has superpowers, because in the Captain Marvel line, she did not.
Correct.
So not just like, because if you just introduce a new character and she has powers, that would be fine.
Right.
But this would be like if you had a side comic where just suddenly Mary Jane can shoot fucking lasers out of her eyes.
And it's never explained
for a year and a half why she can shoot lasers out of her eyes and control tornadoes. And you're just like, nah, she just can. You're like, but she couldn't. Like, just a minute ago, I already knew there was an established set of rules for this character. Mm-hmm. And now you've just changed it. So with her own storyline where she did have powers, was she in the Captain Marvel still?
Tangentially sometimes, but not as prominently as she had been when she didn't have her own comic.
Now, when Carol is Miss Marvel, is this where she's in the black thing with the electricity bolt on it?
Not yet.
Okay.
She's in a black and red with a giant hole in her midriff right now, but it's still a bathing suit because, you know, gotta do.
You don't gotta. It's just.
God. Yeah, no, it wasn't great. You know, there is a lot about Miss Marvel that is good in terms of they had a strong female character in a time where there were not many of those.
Sure.
But there's a lot about her that was bad. She was often not used as a power for pro-feminism, but exploited for being just a sexual icon.
Okay, right? So what were her powers?
So she can fly, she's super strong, and she shoots lasers.
So just Marvel's powers.
Yes.
Okay.
But then as time has developed, she can also absorb all energy.
Okay. I mean, that's a...
And okay. So she is infinitely strong. Like if she goes into the sun and absorbs some of the sun, she can come out and her strength will be, you know, energy of sun into power of fist.
Yes. And that was what she has as Miss Marvel.
Right.
Okay.
So in issue 19, what they finally revealed is that when one of Captain Marvel's enemies, who is actually Yon Rogg, which is the character that Jude Law played in that movie.
I will give them credit that Yon Rogg, to my knowledge, does not immediately sound like
any Earth
word.
Yeah. He had an illegal Kree device, so he just hated Mar-Vell and was jealous of him and wanted to kill him.
Okay.
And he had an illegal Kree weapon called the Psyche Magnetron, or Psyche Magnetron. It's unclear how it's supposed to be pronounced.
Okay.
And what it does and why it is illegal is that it grants the user any wish.
Okay. Does that count as its technology? Psyche Magnetron, by the way... It very much sounds like not that. It very much sounds like it just like amps your telekinetic powers or something.
It reads your mind and rearranges matter to match what you're thinking about.
Okay. Okay.
And that's how it grants your wish.
I guess that is a tech.
And so what happened is that Yon Rogg was beating Captain Marvel and Carol got into the Psyche Magnetron and she was like, I wish that I had the... So
is this like a pod?
It's a contraption. Let's call it a contraption. It's big.
Okay.
And you know, as a regular human, she sees Captain Marvel getting his ass kicked. And so she goes in there and is like, I wish that I had the power that he does. and came out with his power and also half Kree DNA now.
Because why not?
Yeah. And, you know, saved the day and destroyed the evil machine, and now she has powers.
Okay, so
she wished for it and she got it.
Wow. That is how you got her powers from a wish. That's you fulfilled your tease. I mean, there.
A machine was also used, but it, you know.
Wish-granting machine. Yeah. Okay.
Might as well have been a genie.
Yeah, it's just a cyber genie.
Yeah.
Okay, so now my question is, mm-hmm. I guess because I just have my headset in, like, modern times.
Oh, we're still in, like, 1972.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is, like, if you had something like that now, it would be revealed in the 19th episode because it had been teased for the previous 19.
Yeah.
In this case, it feels more like the writers just forgot to tell you, and then 18 issues in, we're like, oh, fuck, did we never do an origin story? I guess, oh, fuck, shit. What do we do? I wish, it's a wish. It's a fucking wish. But we can't just make it a wish.
Okay, it's okay, a wish fine. Machine.
It's a wish machine. It's a technologically advanced wish machine. Okay, fuck it. Yeah, wish machine. Let's go. I guess yeah. we'll just throw this in the middle of our story.
And that was written by Chris Claremont, which amuses me to no end. Yes, the X-Men scribe. He's one of the most celebrated comic writers of all time for having written the X-Men for 20 years.
Wow.
And
it's weird to hear. But
he also did that issue of Ms. Marvel.
He's got to be old now, right? Because, I mean, that was probably in the 70s.
He's probably 70.
Okay,
maybe
yeah.
a little older. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I guess that's... I mean,
he was probably 20, 21
when he wrote,
in the 70s when he was writing
for
them.
When he invented the wish machine.
Yeah.
Okay. The cyber genie.
Yeah, I like that name for it.
Cyber genie?
Yeah.
It's better than the Psyche Magnetron or whatever. Yeah.
I've always said Sykes. It's P-S-Y-C-H-E, right? And so you can pronounce it either way.
Yeah, I mean, Psyche, that's how you'd say Psyche. Like,
right, but it sounds better as the Psyche Magnetron.
The Psyche Magnet. Neither of them sound like they're a thing. It just sounds like gibberish. In fact, I think I've read that when I was trying to read about Carol.
Mm-hmm.
And I like, think what? The sentence was... Because she got in the Psyche Magnetron, the Kree Psyche Magnetron, and I assumed that the person had a stroke mid-writing it, and it just added a bunch of gibberish nonsense, and I'm like, got in the Kree Psyche Magnetron? I mean,
that's what happened to Chris. This can't
possibly be English. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so she got her powers from a literal wish.
Yeah.
Okay, and so how long did it... Does she fight crime, I'm assuming?
Yeah, and she became a member of the Avengers, and she's just kind of around doing stuff. Mystique was actually one of her main villains. The mutant Mystique premiered in Miss Marvel.
Oh, and interesting.
Was one of her major villains, yeah.
So how long did Miss Marvel run as its own line for?
Like 2 or 3 years.
Okay, and all the while Captain Marvel is still running at its own line?
Yeah, Captain Marvel, I don't know when it stopped. It has a confusing publication history, or I should say inconsistent publication history.
Did his popularity wane as a character?
Yeah, both him and Miss Marvel waned mid-70s, and then he came back.
Well, they just don't feel like they're very distinct in the iteration that they're in at this time. Like,
right.
I mean,
they're identical, except one's male, one's female.
Right, but they also don't seem like they're unique enough from all other superheroes at this
sure,
point.
Sure, yeah. Well, like, once Captain Marvel has fought off the Kree who were with him at the time currently invading Earth, he's just a guy on Earth. Kind of like what happened to Silver Surfer.
But at least Silver is just still a silver metal person right. with a cool surfboard. Like this just sounds like, oh, you're another flying guy with strength energy projection. Yeah. Great. We got a bunch of those.
Yeah.
You know, but with weirder backstories or three heads or some shit.
Yeah.
So
anyways,
their popularity waned a bit.
Came and went in different iterations and whatnot.
And they mostly appeared in other storylines and other like group mm-hmm. settings, right?
And Mar-Vell ended up dying of cancer in mid-70s.
Just cancer?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a very powerful story because, you know...
No, I mean, it's
all
just...
All this superhero power and what you still can't...
Did he get it cancer. From, like, a space laser or
no,
something?
No, he just got cancer. Sometimes people get cancer.
No, I know that, but not in comics.
I mean, that was kind of the point of the story, was to... deal with that.
That's really cool. Now I'm assuming that because this was such an important element of his character, they never brought him back because how could you ever undercut the significance of such an emotional impact?
Absolutely,
I'm joking. And obviously they brought him back, I'm going to say within a couple of years.
No, he stayed dead for 20 years.
He was
dead for a long time. Yeah.
That's significant. Because sometimes these people die and then the next year they're just back.
Usually
because of a wish.
One of my favorite ways that he came back was through time travel.
So there's multiple ways.
He was plucked out of time from before he got cancer.
Jesus fucking Christ.
And there was a lot of discussion among his peers about whether or not to tell him about the fact that he's going to die from cancer when he goes back to his reality.
Jesus Christ.
But it turns out that version was just a scroll. Actually happen. Marvel Comics is weird, man. There's a lot going on.
I just realized something. Do you know how fucking convoluted and insane your comic stories need to be that you need Doombots, life model decoys, and Skrulls to explain away the number of things that don't make sense and couldn't have actually happened and didn't really happen to the person they supposedly happened to. Like, you don't just have
alternate
reality versions.
That's why She-Hulk slept with Juggernaut.
Oh, okay. I can't do that. We do have to do a whole episode on She-Hulk.
Yeah, we will.
Because I am
close to when that show comes out.
So thoroughly confused by She-Hulk.
So she had sex with Juggernaut, and that was like a very controversial thing. And so eventually they officially retconned it as a She-Hulk from another universe was vacationing in the 616, and that She-Hulk had sex with Juggernaut.
I mean, here's the thing, though. If he starts building momentum, he's going to plow right through her.
Through She-Hulk.
I mean, nothing. It's magic. His thing is magic, isn't it?
Yeah, but she's real strong.
But his thing is magic.
Yeah, but magic only has a finite amount of strength to it.
And She-Hulk has infinite strength?
No, but a lot.
Okay, save it. We'll save the Juggernaut banging for the episode on She-Hulk.
Doctor Strange puts up a magic barrier.
And Hulk punches it down?
The strength of magic is finite.
Only when the narrative calls for it. Right. I guarantee he could make one that the Hulk couldn't punch down.
Get through if that's what you need
either
for the
realizes
story.
It, or if he needs it for the story, or if he finds the right words, or if he sees the right book, or has the right artifact, or just thinks hard enough, or wants it badly enough.
Exactly. See, you get how Marvel Comics works.
Christ. Oh my God. Okay.
So let's go back to Carol, because that's really, we're not doing a history of Captain Marvel as much as I want to be doing a history of Carol.
So Mar-Vell dies of cancer. Mm-hmm.
And Carol's comic has been canceled by this point, and she's just kind of showing up in the Avengers sometimes.
As Miss Marvel still. So
and
is this when she takes on the mantle of Captain Marvel?
No. Oh, okay. That didn't happen until like 7 years ago. That's a very modern change.
Wait, what?
Yeah, let's see. I wrote the year down. It's 2012.
So you're telling me that the MCU existed for 4 years before Carol Danvers became Captain Marvel?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I thought she'd been Captain Marvel for at least a while.
And it's a very recent change.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so she stays Ms. Marvel after Captain Marvel's death. So there just isn't a Captain Marvel for a long time.
Right.
Okay.
And then other people take up the mantle too, which is why there have been six of them.
So there's been six of them between Mar-Vell
and
her.
Carol,
becoming...
Yes, she is the sixth. Okay.
I thought that there was like six and then Mar-Vell somehow and then her. So, okay, got it.
Hello, listeners. The next part of this episode features a discussion of sensitive topics, including sexual assault and an event that many refer to as the Rape of Miss Marvel. If you don't want to listen to this part, please skip ahead to minute 55 of the podcast. For the rest of you, I think there's a lot that we can all learn from examining the mistakes of the past. So let's do that now.
So, Avengers issue number 200, written in 1980.
Is this going to be tough?
sort of.
Okay.
But it's also the most bananas-ass crazy shit in the world.
Okay.
Okay, so one of Kang's alternates is called Immortus. Kang the Time Traveler.
Yes.
So one of the alternate reality versions of him is called Immortus. And Immortus lives in Limbo, which is a place outside of time. Not to be confused with some of the other Limbos. There are multiple places in Marvel called Limbo. But this is the one outside of time, not where the demons come from.
This is a good start so far.
Okay.
Not where the demons come from, but also... So the demons come from Limbo?
A different Limbo, though.
But also from Hell.
Well, yeah.
Same demons?
No.
Fuck yourself. Fuck yourself. Full stop. Okay, whatever. So he lives in other Limbo.
Right. And his...
This is Immortus.
Right.
Who is a variant of Kang.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he... His son, actually, I think, Marcus.
Marcus.
Yeah.
I am Immortus, and this is my son. Marcus. It's like, what? Okay. And Alan. And Broodhaven. Why'd you name the third one Broodhaven? Well, we'd gone through the grandparents. And then we got to Broodhaven. Fucking Marcus. Okay.
So he couldn't get out of Limbo because he was a creature of Limbo.
Marcus was.
Right.
Okay.
So what he did is he brainwashed Carol Danvers.
I don't like this already. Brought her
to Limbo.
Why did he choose her?
Because she's a female on the Avengers, and this was taking place in the Avengers comic.
Okay.
Why
did she have to be a female?
Because, he woos her. Like, it's weird because, like, he mentally manipulates her into doing this, but he also sets up elaborate illusions so that it seems like she's living an alternate life.
So gaslighting.
But anyways, yeah. And
with magic.
Right. And so she falls in love with him. They have sex. She gets pregnant. He sends her out of Limbo. She gives birth to a boy.
Whoa, hold on. This happens in Limbo?
That happened in Limbo.
So he
kidnaps her to Limbo.
Okay. Convinces her that she's living this other life.
Right.
So she doesn't know she's in Limbo?
No.
And she doesn't know that he is Marcus, the son of Immortus?
No.
Okay. This is Marcus we're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then she leaves.
Yeah.
Gives birth to a kid.
Yeah.
Who rapidly ages into Marcus. He is his own father.
Oh, what the fuck? That's weird. That's weird even for this. It's not this, baby arms weird, but it's fucking weird.
It's the only way he could get out of Limbo.
But, okay.
And because of
Jesus.
Some other elements of the mental manipulation is that none of the other Avengers noticed that it was weird that the kid she gave birth to immediately grew up. And they were just like, oh, we're so happy for you, Carol, for having this child. And she's like, no, this is weird and bad. And none of them like did anything about it. And so then a very prominent article was written called The Rape of Miss Marvel about how this was a common trope of what would happen to rape victims.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's insane.
Yeah.
Like, emotional manipulation, the forced breeding,
and then
believing it.
Yeah.
Or accepting her take on it, or assuming that she's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Who wrote the storyline?
Four writers are credited in the issue.
Now, here's the reason I'm asking that is, was it written to be a commentary on rape culture, or did the people who write it
just
used her as a narrative construct and didn't give a shit about what it was implying for her psyche?
Exactly. And that's why it was so bad, right?
That's awful.
It wasn't a, hey, look, this is a thing that happens. We need to do something about that. It was just, you know, like writing about how some people go to the grocery store and some people
it wasn't meant go to their be jobs. An examination of this right. horrible thing that happens.
Some people have babies and like is yeah.
So was it four men who wrote the story?
Yeah. Okay. So the credited creators are Jim Shooter, David Micheline.
Jim Shooter. Yeah, I know Jim Shooter.
Yeah.
Every time I hear his name, I have not heard his. I know you've said good things, but I'm just telling you, every time I've ever asked who the fuck wrote that so far, your answer's been Jim Shooter.
So he was the editor-in-chief for a long time, for about 20 years.
If I remember correctly, he's the one who said, no one wants to read about these characters that they all love. Let's just make a bunch of new assholes that no one gives a shit about, but they will come to, and then they didn't.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
He's a very controversial figure in Marvel history, because he did a lot of stuff that, in retrospect, seems bad, but also, under his supervision, Marvel sold more comics than anything ever imagined, right?
And all I'm saying is, if you were in the 80s and you were writing a movie about an asshole who buys the local youth center to turn it into a private ski chalet, that guy's name would be Jim Shooter. like it's just such a... just sounds like a guy who would do that.
Yeah.
So, Jim Shooter, who else?
It was him, David Micheline.
I don't know
that. He's very famous for having written Spider-Man throughout most of the 80s and 90s. He created Venom and Carnage. You know, because of that, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I don't actually know anything about him.
Got it.
And then Bob Layton and Jorge Perez, who are both artists, and so I don't know how much collaboration was there. Jim Shooter fervently denies having had anything to do with the issue, but so does everybody else. Like, all of them say, that idea didn't come from me. It was just in there as part of the creative collaboration process. So,
well, that's convenient.
So who knows?
I mean, you might as well just put Alan Smithy fucking name on it. Like,
yeah,
you know, the famous.
That's the thing, is that I don't think the four of them realized that there was something wrong with the comic. And was wrong with it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there was... because here's the thing. Any level of intention would have been better than this is just what a female character should be used for.
Right.
Like, any level of intention. And it's such bullshit that that's the only way that you could have... I mean, here's the thing. All of this is fake. All of this is your rules.
Right, yeah.
So, you could have made any when I asked you, why did it have to be Carol? And you said, oh, because it was a woman, a female on the Avengers. In that language, it is implied, oh, well, because he had to impregnate somebody to get himself onto the side. But he didn't. He didn't have to impregnate anyone. Like, that was a rule that these writers just thought of in that moment.
Right.
He could have taken Tony Stark and created a miniature version that crawled into Tony Stark's mouth and lived inside of his brain until he exploded out of his head. Fucking could have done anything.
Yeah.
He could have done anything. But they chose to make her an unwitting
tool
to be emotionally manipulated, sexually assaulted without their consent, impregnated, and then not just gaslit by the person who, oh my God, it's such a rape allegory too, because by Marcus's magic or, you know, his psychic powers, he convinces everybody else that it's not what it seems, which is the exact thing of an abuser convincing everybody that he's a good guy and this couldn't possibly be his fault.
No, it's the woman's fault. She's crazy.
But like the fact that every one of those narrative choices was decided upon in the moment. Like, there wasn't ever... it wasn't established 10 years earlier that the only way Marcus could get out of limbo is if he impregnates a female human.
Right.
Like it wasn't them fulfilling something that had been established and they were locked into that.
And even once he had, he didn't also have to have the ability to convince the other Avengers that this was a good thing, right? He could have popped out and everybody been like, what the fuck is up with this guy? How'd he get here?
I mean, there's just so many things. I think this is a situation in which it is very common among perfectly well-intentioned people.
But ignorant people.
Not even ignorant, but like, if there had been one woman
Yeah, involved writing. In that there process would have been like, at all.
Oh, no. No. Yeah. That's not at all okay. So how does she move forward from this?
So basically she quits the Avengers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Chris Claremont is like, I'm going to fix this because this is bad.
Chris Claremont had written her story originally,
she was the one who he was the writer who
the dream machine
origin.
The wish machine
and he had written I think like 10 to 12 issues of
how
her
did
solo
he
comic.
Feel about this storyline
he probably didn't know he wasn't I'm involved not
saying,
in the Avengers
I'm not
at
saying
all.
Pre that has oh, he ever like, oh, I imagine yeah. no,
he hated it and that's why Rogue was created.
Oh, shit.
Yes. So Rogue was created to siphon the powers and memory out of Carol so that she could sort of get a fresh start and move away from that whole thing.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's insane.
So Chris took Carol basically and moved her to the X-Men.
Wow.
And so it started in Avengers Annual number 10 is Rogue's first appearance.
Yeah.
But it continues in X-Men issues. And so Carol sort of becomes a X-Man. like she is one of the friends of the X-Men.
Hold on. I'm still not over this. It's so frustrating too. Because if it had been written with the intent to examine that sort of trauma.
Sure, that could
have
been,
been amazing.
Yes, absolutely.
But the fact that it was written that no one at the time writing it thought how fucked this is. It just blows my mind.
Yeah.
But again, I think it's an artifact of people not recognizing the optics of things because they don't experience that thing. There weren't enough people of different mindsets to think, oh, this doesn't make sense. You see it with corporate shit all the time, or especially with advertisements.
It's so crazy how much wrong shit gets into ads that nobody notices until it goes live.
There's so much sexist stuff in ads where if you just had anybody on the board who was like, oh, but like women are humans. Like, you wouldn't have that. Like, an ad for Mr. Clean, where it was, shows a woman with her daughter cleaning a window, right? And it said, this Mother's Day, get back to the job that really matters. And I think what it meant was get back to the job of, like, being
like
with
your
mom. Or being with your family. But, like, the implication was, like, oh, you and your career, go clean the fucking kitchen. And if they, I really feel that like if you just had more input on that, you would be like, no.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same with storytelling in comic books too. There's a lot of situations where you're like, oh, just like run it by one other person. Just one other person. Okay. So Chris Claremont was like, this is awful. And we need to make this not a thing anymore.
Right. So he created the character Rogue, who everyone knows. She's an extremely famous X-Man.
And I didn't know she could siphon memories.
So that's part of what she gets is your mind.
Oh, okay.
And basically, so Mystique is Rogue's adopted mom. I don't know if that's common knowledge.
I mean, I knew it because you've told me that, but I didn't know it otherwise.
Yeah, so Rogue was raised by Mystique.
And well, that had to have implications with Ms. Marvel then, right? Because didn't you
say... Well, that's the whole point.
Is
because Mystique and Ms. Marvel were enemies, Mystique told Rogue, you know, you got to drain her and don't let go. And so Rogue drained too much, drained all of her mind and powers permanently, and left Carol in a coma.
So was Rogue trying to kill her?
Mystique wanted Rogue to kill her. Rogue was in over her head.
Got it.
But then, like, ends up going and attacking the Avengers with her Captain Marvel powers. She was originally a villain.
Oh, Rogue like, starts.
Rogue was originally a villain.
Got it.
But then when...
I mean, she's called Rogue.
When Carol's mind started, like, messing with her thoughts, she was like, oh, shit, I gotta go get help from Charles Xavier. And that's how she ended up joining the X-Men. And
oh, so Carol's goodness and psyche is what got Rogue to distance herself from Mystique and join the X-Men.
Yeah.
I never had any fucking hint of a clue that Carol Danvers had this much impact on the X-Men. Because Rogue is one of the most popular characters in comics.
Yeah.
It feels like Carol Danvers should get more credit, like, among the popular consciousness.
Yeah. So Carol goes to space with the X-Men and the Brood experiment on her. The Brood are the, the alien
knockoffs.
Yes.
I mean, now that Marvel owns Alien, or Fox, or, you know, the, whatever.
Yeah. Well, Marvel is currently publishing Alien comics.
Are Brood and Alien ever going to have a war?
I would love to see that.
I mean, it would be really hard to watch, though, because I don't know who's who. They're literally the same thing.
The Brood are browner and the aliens are blacker. So you'd be able to see the difference.
I guess.
And the Brood fly around in...
They are real close knockoffs.
Yeah, and the Brood fly around in giant space whales, which is something that the aliens don't do.
Oh, boy. Marvel's got to add its thing. Okay, so anyway, so she goes to space with the Avengers?
No, with the X-Men.
With the X-Men.
Yeah.
So Carol gets out of the coma.
Yeah.
And has her personality and powers?
Not at first.
Okay.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not that simple.
She has to regain her stuff.
Yeah. And part of that is spending time with the X-Men.
Right. Does she not have a memory of the Marcus thing?
That is never explicitly talked about.
Okay.
But that's kind of the point, is that she's like becoming a new person. Yeah.
Got it.
And so the Brood experiment on her, and that's when she gets super sun power and starts calling herself Binary. And she's a space hero for a while.
Binary. Okay.
And that's when we see that her power is as strong as the sun. And
so that wasn't an established Ms. Marvel thing.
It wasn't, and neither was the energy absorption. This is where the energy absorption comes in, as basically...
Why binary?
Stars? I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe a commentary on the fresh start for her life of... two people that she is, or
sure.
I don't really know.
Sounds like a Grant Morrison character
name she chose. I mean, because binary stars.
No, I know.
It's like it doesn't come out of completely nowhere.
Yeah,
but
know. Usually when you think binary, you think like binary sounds like a character who would have some sort of like mental sweat, like a Hulk kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Hers just is like they looked in an astronomy book and they found a word.
Yeah.
Remember, if you want to name a character, look for any noun or adjective, I guess, in this case. Anyway.
Yeah. How long have we been recording?
About a million years, I think.
Just over an hour.
We haven't actually gotten to Captain Marvel yet.
Yeah, so I was going to say, let's go ahead and jump to the present. So
is there good stuff with binary?
After she was binary for a while, she came back to Earth and she was Warbird for a while, and she was sort of a backup character on the Avengers.
Wow. Okay, so she's had a lot of personas then.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. So... At what point did she say, fuck y'all, I'm taking this name?
2012.
Okay. And am I describing her decision properly? I really hope I am.
Basically, Steve Rogers convinced her it was time.
Well, because it feels like a feminist move to drop the Miss and just take on a Captain Marvel title.
So Captain Marvel had recently come back to life. And
Marvel
had recently come back to life and then quickly sacrificed himself to stop the Phoenix from destroying the Kree homeworld. And in response to that, Carol, wanting to honor him, decided to take up Captain Marvel. And at first she talks to Steve about how she's very hesitant to be that direct. And Steve talks about how he's not a captain in the army anymore, but that there's a lot of symbolism in names. And Carol mentions that she's taking a demotion because technically she's a colonel.
That's true. That's a great point.
But she does do it, and she does it with pants. That was when the new outfit was designed for her. And she takes the mask off too, which I think is a strong statement.
Oh, she wore a mask?
As Miss Marvel. Yeah, she's got, you know,
I don't remember.
Just a dark black thing over her eyes.
Cat,
yeah.
Burglar thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like 1940s Catwoman
yeah.
kind of thing. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And this was written by Kelly Sue DeConnick, and it was done intentionally because there weren't enough strong female characters. And instead of just creating a new one, they were like, well, what we should do is we should take this underdeveloped character and turn her into something great.
That's
great. And they did. Yeah. Wow. And so Captain Marvel has been really good. It has done a great job of analyzing and developing her character.
Yeah.
She struggles because she is the strongest. She struggles a lot with feeling that she is responsible for everything. Because
what,
if she
what
ever
is her power level? Like
infinite. If she wants it.
And why?
Because she can just go into the sun and take some of its energy.
Or any sun, theoretically. Yeah. Any source of energy.
Yeah.
And project that
back
unimaginable
as either
energy.
Punches or lasers. Yeah.
So that's why she, in the MCU, is like, you know, world ender if she wanted to be. Like,
yes.
She flies through the ship with ease. She does all the shit with
yeah.
relative ease.
Yeah.
Because she's... The strongest entity.
Yeah. Outside Hulk is of technically stronger, but she could beat the Hulk because she's smarter about how she would use her strength. And
well,
she
also,
has
I mean,
lasers and he doesn't.
She could just fly.
Yeah, that helps.
Like in a fight between them, she would just fly away and then shoot him at a long distance with lasers. So
anyways, the current Captain Marvel is a very strong feminist icon. Kelly Sue DeConnick,
which is why everyone got so pissy about it when they had her in the movies, because how dare a woman be a strong character in movies? I want to see my macho men punch each other, according to apparently a lot of people on the internet.
Yeah.
Fuck is wrong with people, Sharnold?
A lot.
Yeah, good point. Solid point.
And Kelly...
That's our new podcast. The fuck is wrong with people?
Kelly Thompson has been writing the current version for about 35 issues, and I really like it. One of my favorite issues. So a lot of the characterization they've been doing with her is about, because she is so strong, she feels responsible for everything that goes wrong. And so she's in a down in the dumps sort of thing. And Spider-Woman calls her. Spider-Woman is her best friend. Okay, quick tangent.
No. I mean, this actually sounds... like it could be related.
Carol's six best friends are Jennifer, Jessica, Janet, and James.
That is deeply confusing. Jessica Jones?
Jessica Jones.
Spider-Woman's Jessica Drew.
That's correct.
James Logan? I don't know who's...
Rhodes.
Rhodey. Oh, War Machine. Oh, right, because they're both pilots.
They date.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Two
Jennifers. Janet.
Who are the Jennifer? The other Jennifers.
So one Jennifer is She-Hulk.
Oh, Jennifer Walters?
Yes.
Walters.
Walters.
Okay.
Yes. The other Jennifer is a character called Hazmat that you wouldn't know because she's never had any sort of adaptation. She was.
That's an unfortunate. What's her power?
She has out of control radiation.
Okay.
She's Radiation Man's daughter.
You know, when you are Radiation Man. Maybe don't have kids. Like, I'm not trying to make Hazmat feel bad. But, like, you're kind of fucking your kids over when you have them in the first place if you are Radiation Man.
Yeah.
Also, I feel you'd have a hard time making kids if you're Radiation Man. But anyway.
His ability to control it varies from story to story.
Okay, so, and then who's the other
Janet
one?
Janet Van Dyne is...
A Wasp.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's so, like, happenstantial, right? Like, her and Jessica Drew's friendship goes back to the original Ms. Marvel comics that's been around. And then her relationship with Janet just sort of developed in the Avengers, because for a long time they were the only two female Avengers. Her relationship with She-Hulk came from the She-Hulk comics.
Yeah.
Because they're both strong females.
Sure.
And then Jessica Jones, who's a relatively recent incarnation, sort of joined their group of female Avenger friends.
Well, I mean, I think it obviously happens organically because it's too many things to be intentional.
Right.
But at the same time, I do love the moment where someone's writing and goes, wait, what the fuck? What the fuck?
Yeah. And then Hazmat, her name just happens to be Jennifer. So she was created as a Avengers kid, different from the Young Avengers series. It was called Avengers Academy, and most of them were killed off, and then nothing was done with the
like
ones
actually
who
killed off.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
And so she was, you know, just in the ether, nothing being done with her. And I think it was Kelly Thompson that brought her in. Okay, so back to what I was saying.
I don't even remember what that was.
Because I mentioned Jessica gives her a call. Jessica Drew, Spider-Woman, calls her from Central Park and is trying to get Carol to come out and do things to kind of get out of her funk.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you got to come help us fight these half cat, half snake people. And Carol's like, yeah, I know you're trying to get me out, but you know, whatever. And then she's like, and they're being ridden by wizards. And she's like, okay. And the wizards are lizards and they have rainbow magic. And she's like, okay, I have to see this. And then they go and that's actually like what they fight.
Kelly Thompson wrote that?
Yeah, it's just one of the best. Because, you know, it's just supposed to be like a dumb joke, but then
they actually fight that. It's so good. It's
great. And, you know, because she can go into space, she does that a lot.
Sure.
So one more very important thing that came in 2018... is a massive, massive retcon of her entire everything.
Oh, good. Those are fun.
Her mom was a Kree soldier.
Now, when you say they retconned that, because sometimes retcons work in different ways. Sometimes retcons work in where a character realizes that everything they thought about themselves was a lie. And then sometimes retcons work where this is just how it's always been.
So the first one. So she goes home to visit her family. And she doesn't get along with her family. Her dad was drunk and abusive, and he has passed away. One of her older brothers also passed away. Both of her older brothers are stepbrothers. In the process of going through old things, she finds love letters that her dad had sent to someone that isn't her mom. Eventually, she's like, I gotta tell mom about this, and she confronts her, and the mom says, I know, and I was okay with it, and like, it's actually a really, really well-written 5-issue story called The Life of Captain Marvel that deals with abusive family in a very, like, it's very well-written from all perspectives about how difficult it is.
Interesting.
And I recommend it, but what it turns out is that Carol's mom was a Kree soldier, much like Mar-Vell, who had come to Earth to conquer it, and was hey, these humans are cool.
Okay, but hold on. Is the psyche magnetron?
So all that did is it amplified her stress levels so that her existing Kree physiology powers came out.
That makes way more sense.
It does make more sense, but I also hate it.
Why?
Because I want her to get her powers from a wish. It's just so random and cool.
But she still did. I mean, like, it would make the DNA.
Bring out powers she has.
But was the Kree DNA thing
canon
back then?
Yeah, so the psych magnetron changed her DNA to be half Kree. That's how it gave her powers.
But doesn't it make so much more sense that she only thought that and she actually had Kree DNA?
It makes more sense, yeah, but I don't like it as much.
Well, I'm sorry, Sharnold, that the one time Marvel goes back and makes a retcon about a magic wish machine that then makes actual sense, and you don't like it.
Yeah.
Half the time, the retcons are like, oh, but what about these 9 other things? You're like, oh, yeah. But this time, the retcon actually makes the nonsense make sense.
Yeah.
And you can't deal with that.
I like the wish machine.
Look, it's still a wish machine. It just worked a little differently than it did originally. It granted the wish by increasing her stress levels to get the end result. It's still a wish machine. She wished to have his powers. And the thing's and like, sure, fucking did. Here you go. It just didn't have to work as hard.
But then the end of the series really let me down because the Kree that the mom had been hiding from show up and kill her. And then Carol feels bad. And that was a completely unnecessary death. And they could have kept her alive and had a lot more stories about Carol dealing with the fact that she's been lied to her whole life.
Yeah.
But instead, you know, they have the I'm dying, I forgive you moment, which I don't like nearly as much.
Well, there's also a bit of a easy out with that, narratively speaking.
Yeah.
Because like having to deal with the ramifications of being lied to your entire life is much more narratively difficult. I also understand why you'd want to wrap it up with a death, though, only because if you handled a story like that very delicately, you
don't want someone else to
fuck it all up for you.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Which is very possible.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. This is a roller coaster of emotions in this episode. But there's just so much potential there, and it's just it's also great that she has so much power. Uh-huh. Like, they don't curb it.
No, not or at anything. All. She's just strong as fuck.
Yeah. And that's awesome. That's so fucking rad. Like,
yeah. So the new Miss Marvel.
Oh yeah.
Is Kamala Khan.
Kamala Khan. She's from New Jersey and she's a teenager.
Yes.
She likes to draw fan fiction. Yes. I know all of this from Marvel Strike Force, the game, which I haven't played in a year, by the way.
So she's an Inhuman who happened to get embiggening powers. And she is also the leader of the Carol Corps, C-O-R-P-S, which is the Captain Marvel fan club.
Got it.
And so she appeared briefly in an issue of Captain Marvel before getting spun out into her own series. She is amazing, and I love her on her own, independent of her interactions with Carol.
Sure. But she took the name as a tribute to Carol.
To Carol.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the first thing that she did with her powers is accidentally become Carol, because part of being able to stretch her body includes being able to morph it. Yes.
Okay.
And she was out of control and didn't know what she was doing, and so she became Carol and didn't know how to undo it, and, you know, shenanigans.
Sure. No, that's really neat. I think we need to do a
Kamala Khan episode Ms. Marvel on her episode closer to whenever her show finally comes out.
Yeah, maybe we also talk about America Chavez, because she's in the show too, right?
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to?
I don't think so. I strongly recommend every Captain Marvel issue that has been about Carol.
They're solid.
They're very good.
Okay, cool. Okay, you want to spin that wheel? You want to do the honors?
Yeah.
Okay, hey, it's Stump Sharnold.
Hey, we haven't done this in a while.
We haven't.
Do you think you can stump me? I don't know.
I don't know.
I just dropped the hell of knowledge on you.
You did, and I did have to write a bunch of questions before we did this episode. Okay, question number one. In the Captain Marvel movie, set in 1995, they call her Vers in the movie, I guess, because it's Danvers, right?
Yeah.
Crashes through the roof of a Blockbuster video store.
Yeah.
And reflexively blasts a standee, a cardboard cutout poster for what movie? And I can read you the options if you need it.
Yeah, give me the options because I don't remember at all.
A, The Mask. B, Pulp Fiction. C, True Lies. Or D, Natural Born Killers.
I don't remember at all. I'm going to say True Lies.
You're correct. Good. It is Arnold Schwarzenegger in the dark, blasting him in the face. The producers have talked about how it is basically her shooting sexism.
Yeah.
Because that movie has a lot of problems. I mean, there's a lot of people I still love True Lies, but it is wildly racist and sexist on an unfathomable level. Super fun movie. A lot of problems. Okay. Number two. The word Marvel shares the Latin root for which of these words?
Okay.
A, miracle. B, astonishment. C, magical. Or D, disbelief.
How do you spell it?
How do you spell what, Marvel?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Yes. The word Marvel shares the Latin... Miracle, astonishment, magical, or disbelief?
I'm going to say magical.
It is miracle. It is miravel. It is miracle and marvel, the root for it.
Cool.
Number three, if Captain Marvel, and I love the fact that you said it was a demotion because she was a colonel, but that was in the Air Force, right?
Yeah.
If Captain Marvel were an actual captain in the LAPD.
Oh, boy.
And she got promoted one rank.
Uh-huh.
What would her new title be? Detective Marvel, Sergeant Marvel, Lieutenant Marvel, or Commander Marvel?
I should know this from watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes.
Okay, so she was a captain, and she goes up one rank, so Sergeant.
No.
Okay, I was just guessing.
Commander. Commander Marvel, which also, by the way, is a rad-ass fucking name.
Are there any commanders in Nine-Nine?
No, because after Holt, he's Captain Holt, right. And then he's going to go up to Chief.
Yeah.
But there are commanders in the like there are characters, like background characters and stuff, but none of the main characters are applying for that. But
word.
Okay. The previous Captain Marvel, Mar-Vell, dies apparently, and is later brought back to life by Kree mystics by what cosmic artifact?
Ooh. I'm going to say it was the M-Kron crystal.
You are correct. My other options were M-Kron crystal.
The nexus of all reality.
The infinity gems, the cosmic cube, and the heart of the universe. I don't know what the heart of the universe is, but I will say when I was Googling this on one of the Wikipedias, it has this note, and this is an important note because this is fucking bananas. M-Kron crystal, the nexus of realities. Unknown if it is connected to the nexus of all realities.
Yeah.
Located in the Florida Everglades.
Yeah, that's where Swamp Thing lives. I mean, Man Thing? Man Thing, yeah.
Swamp Thing is DC.
Man Thing is the
Marvel knockoff. Man Thing is the laziest fucking name for anything ever.
He who feels fear burns at the touch of the Man Thing, and his job is to protect the nexus of all realities, which is
portal. Stop talking now. Just stop talking now. So you are
two for four.
Yeah. 2 for 4.
50-50.
Is your chance to get a C. Carol Danvers.
I know her.
Shares her surname and a suspiciously similar first name with what DC heroine? Power Girl, Zatanna, Black Canary, or Supergirl?
Supergirl, Kar-El, right?
Yes, but what her Earth name is Kara Danvers. Kara Danvers. Danvers.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it is literally Kara Danvers is her Earth name. Okay, well, thank you guys for listening. This has been great. This honestly, learning about her character has been fantastic. If you guys have anything you want to add about things you love about Captain Marvel, you can hit us up on email at DoomBotsPod, DoomBotsPod@gmail.com, or any social media at DoomBotsPod, the website DoomBotsPod.com. Just DoomBotsPod, you'll get there. Yeah. And next week, Sharnold is going to be teaching me about the High Evolutionary, who, and this is true, is a character from Marvel Comics. So tune in for that next episode.
And remember,
for holla!
I like that we both sort of did a
fist. We did the arm fist without even like thinking about it.
It just kind of comes natural with that.
I also like how anybody doesn't know what that means.
It'll just be like sounds.
Fort Holla. Fortala. Fortala? Fortala. And they'll just walk around. Somebody get a Fortala tattoo. It'll be great. I'm tired.